Hello, everyone. Welcome to Lifestyle Matters. My name is Dr. Fergal Armstrong, and we have with us today Sharmi Chen of the Dietitian's Kitchen. And this episode is brought to you in association with CareVersity Health. So, Sharmi, I thought today we'd talk a little bit about multiple sclerosis, MS, and in particular the role of dietary modification in helping people deal with the symptoms of MS.
That's right, yeah. So I think MS is a really complicated issue, and then people in Australia particularly heard quite a lot more people in Australia suffer MS when compared with Asian countries. So if you can give a little bit brief about what is MS to us, that would be great.
All right. Well, I mean, multiple sclerosis is fundamentally an inflammatory condition that affects the white matter of the brain. And that can include anywhere from the actual cerebral cortex to the actual substance of the brain and also in the spinal cord. So it's a central white matter disease. It's mediated by inflammation, and there are various markers of the inflammatory process that we can see within MS. It's got a number of subtypes. So you get the kind of the incident event, the primary event, and then you can have various ways of developing and manifesting MS subsequent to that. So we can have primary progressive disease where it just gets worse and worse and worse. Then we have the most common type of approximately 80% of people with MS will have what is known as the relapsing and remitting subtype, where you get flares, but then you get better and you get on with your life, and then you get another flare, and then you get better and you get on with your life and you have another flare. Almost inevitably, however, the relapsing remitting subtype will then ultimately eventually progress to what is known as the secondary progressive subtype, whereby you get a flare, and having recovered from many, many, many previous flares, you do not recover from this particular flare, and it just gets worse and worse and worse. So those are the subtypes. But there have been a number of kind of associated risk factors that have been found to contribute to the risk of MS. And really what that says is we don't actually truly know what causes MS. We know the process. It's an inflammatory condition that affects the white matter in the brain, but we don't know the actual cause. It's associated with a number of risk factors, including high latitude. So by that, I mean people living in the equator and people living in, you know, Southeast Asian countries, as you've already said, have a low risk, whereas people living in the northern or, for that matter, very southern parts of the world have a higher risk. It's associated with race. So white people tend to have a higher risk compared to others. It's associated with low vitamin D, associated with childhood obesity, tobacco smoking. There's an autoimmune diathesis. So there's a theory that it's related to the vulnerability to autoimmune disease. So we know, for instance, the people with psoriasis or thyroid autoimmune disease, these patients have a higher risk of developing MS. And we know that it's a genetic condition as well, because we know that the risk is elevated in twins and also in siblings. So for instance, the risk of developing MS, if you have a sibling affected by it, is 5%. Whereas if you have a monozygotic identical twin affected by MS, the risk of developing MS yourself can be as high as 30%. So, you know, we've touched briefly then on what MS is, and we've talked about the subtypes, and then we've talked about the risk factors. So I would then ask you, how does diet come into a discussion on MS? Why are we even having this discussion?
So diet will be like part of the treatment. When people have MS, diet is really important to consider as part of their treatment. Not just diet, but like usually the traditional treatments is the medical treatment. But now we're looking for the diet, exercising, and also other factors can help with MS. And that's gaining more evidence in how dietary approach can help people with MS by delaying the progression and also preventing the onset, and also delay onset these benefits by following a MS-friendly diet. So it's really important to consider that.
So when I look at the diet that is recommended for MS, there's a number of things that I remark on. Firstly, there's no specific diet. You know, we've talked about the Mediterranean diet or the DASH diet or the MIND diet. There isn't a specific MS diet. But when I look at the do's and the do nots of a diet that is recommended for MS, it has the flavor of an anti-inflammatory diet. And that, I suppose, is consistent with the fact that we know that MS is an inflammatory condition of the brain. So let's go a little bit into the diet. So why are we having a discussion about the role of diet in MS?
So the diet actually plays a very important role to help people with MS to delay the onset or just delay the progression. And also, that's very important, it helps to reduce the relapse frequency by following an MS-friendly diet. So there's a bunch of food that we highly recommend people have MS, they should consume a bit more, including these high antioxidants food, our fresh fruit and vegetables, those plant-based protein, for example, that's from the beans, legumes, peas, and also some good protein source from the seafood, those oily fish like our salmon and tuna with a high omega-3 content because they have an anti-inflammatory effect. We also recommend people to eat a lot more nuts, those healthy fat. Try to avoid those unhealthy fat, those animal saturated fat from the animal products, full fat dairy products, because those will causing an increased inflammatory effect and worsen the MS symptoms.
So really, when we look at the diet for MS, even though there isn't a name for it, it really has the flavor of an anti-inflammatory diet.
Yes, exactly.
Just like the MIND diet, just like the Mediterranean diet. Yeah. So there is this emphasis on whole foods, leafy greens, and there is also an emphasis on the avoidance of saturated fat. You know, I'm looking at a list now, so it's like egg yolks, food, deep fried foods, fast food, snacks, chocolates, party food, baked good and less than fat-free. Now, interestingly, on the do-not list, I'm also seeing coconut oil.
Mm.
Now, coconut oil is a vegetable oil, isn't it? But yet it's a saturated fat. So why, you know, talk to us about how we should view coconut oil.
Yeah, coconut oil, maybe in the past few years, like they have a massive promotion about coconut oil and say it into, it is a superfood. Say that coconut oil is a superfood and encourage people to use coconut oil for a lot of things, not just putting it for cooking, but also use it for lotion or hair mask, all these things. But actually, coconut oil is very, very high in saturated fat, and which is something that we try to avoid in healthy eating. Particularly people with MS, they should really cut to minimize their saturated fat intake. So not just coconut oil, but also palm oil. These are two plant-based sources, but they are really high in saturated fat.
Now I'm looking at the do not list, and I don't actually see meat on the do not list. I mean, we know that meat products are full of saturated fat, but per se, in at least small quantities, they are allowed in the MIND diet, or and certainly in the Mediterranean diet. So there's no mention of meat in the MS do not list. How would you feel about discussing meat with someone suffering from MS?
So in the resource, the Overcoming MS resource website, it does promote try to avoid red meat. The reason they try to promote avoiding red meat is because usually we have a certain amount of saturated fat we can find from the red meat. And this Overcoming MS diet, it has a strong focus on cutting off most of the saturated fat in your diet. That's why they promote to avoid red meat particularly.
Right. So that actually is a difference between the MS diet and the MIND and Mediterranean diets, where you can actually have a little bit of meat then. If you're telling us in the MS diet actually to avoid red meat, that's a subtle difference. What about fish?
About fish. So fish is something that we encourage people to eat a little bit more. So fish will be one of the most important protein source for people doing a plant-based diet, but also try to, when they're avoiding the red meat, then they should consume a little bit more fish, particularly deep sea fish.
Yeah, and I suppose oily fish will actually allow you to improve your omega-3 to omega-6 ratio, which again is an inflammatory, an anti-inflammatory dietary intervention that will help with MS. So, how would you then put this kind of the do's and the do nots of the MS diet into the Southeast Asian context?
So we highly recommend people to eat a little bit more the food in this green box. We call it enjoyable food. Why? The reason is we want to increase the antioxidant intake, which has shown that a lot of evidence shows that it has the benefit to reduce those relapse frequency. And it's come from our green vegetables and a lot of different colors fruit. I mentioned about berries in last time in our last episode. It is really high in antioxidants. Because of these health benefits, that's why in MS diet, it's highly recommended to have a higher portion in these whole grain and fruit and vegetables. On the other side, we want to avoid these dairy, red meat, and saturated fat. The reasons we want to do that is because that's promoting an inflammatory effect in the body. And you have mentioned before, MS is actually an inflammatory disorder. So we try to reduce these food intake that would help people to help them to reduce the inflammation in the body, therefore can help to reduce the frequency of the relapse and also help to delay with the progressive issues, progressive symptoms.
So I'm looking at the band, not the band list. I'm looking at the list of foods to avoid, and in there's ghee. Now I know that a lot of Indians love ghee. So how would you counsel someone to from Southeast Asia to avoid ghee? What would they replace it with?
Well, the first thing is, luckily in the Southern Asia, the people who has MS is the rate is significantly lower when compared with people in maybe in other countries like the US or Australia. I mean, that's probably the good thing. Less people have MS, and then they don't need to avoid this maybe. But in a health perspective, I do not recommend people to use so much ghee in their cooking. It's just because it's saturated fat, it's just too much. And likely I would replace that with just olive oil or other vegetable oils.
But they just don't taste as nice as ghee, do
Yes.
they? Yeah. So, what other tips would you give when you're considering recipes for the Southeast Asian patient with MS, albeit that that patient would be a rare entity? You know, if you had to give it dietary advice for that individual on how to cope and how to eat well, what tips and tricks would you give, knowing that they're going to be using a particular dietary regime from their cultural heritage?
For different culture, particularly maybe an Asian background, I would strongly recommend to just increase their vegetable intake. That's probably quite easy, but also choose a plant-based protein. And like our soy products, like tofu, any bean-made products, we have a lot in our diet. But also just cut down the red meat intake and using like fish or chicken or other white meat to replace the beef, the lamb, these products. But I know Asian people, we love pork. We love to eat pork. And then we can have pork because we can still have like certain amount of a small amount of red meat in a MS friendly diet. But the main idea is you have to choose the lean pork, lean part of the pork, the lean meat. Try to avoid your pork belly. Try to avoid too much saturated fat in the meat.
Yeah, pork belly, red cooked pork for me is just a joy.
Or
So having
chow
to avoid,
mein.
yeah, having to avoid pork belly, that would be hard for some people. Now, what about soy sauce? Does soy sauce play a role in either worsening or ameliorating MS?
Well, there's no study to, I don't think there's any evidence supporting the soy sauce will worsen the MS. People can enjoy soy sauce, but there's an interesting point here is about gluten. I do have a client that who suffer MS, and then she told me that whenever she have gluten, then she feels like she have like some symptomatic effect after she have gluten, like digestive issues like bloating or just slow down the digestion. And then she particularly avoid those soy sauce has gluten. Actually, because you can have the gluten-free soy sauce, and people would like to have a gluten-free diet when they have MS, make them feel better with the digestive issues.
So say that again. People with MS, even though they don't have celiac disease, still benefit from a gluten-free diet. Is that what you're saying?
That's right, yes.
Right. Okay. Now, finally, this really looks to me like an inflammatory, sorry, an anti-inflammatory diet, very similar to the MIND diet. How would you characterize the differences between this diet and the MIND diet that we discussed in the previous episode?
Well, there's more specific in the MS diet recommended that we should avoid red meat and also the dairy products. In the MIND diet, we are talking about we should try to have a low-fat dairy product, but not avoiding them. So this is the first point. The reason why MS diet we want to avoid a dairy product is because of the milk protein. So there's two types of milk protein. The one is called the butyrophilin, and then the other one is the bovine serum albumin. They are very common. We found that in our cow dairy products, particularly anything made from cow's milk. That's including in our milk, in our cheese, our yogurt. So when people consume this milk protein, it actually can trigger the autoimmune reaction and worsens the MS. So that's why we recommend them to avoid these dairy products. It's just difference compared with the MIND diet. That one is recommending you to consume a reduced fat version, but MS-friendly diet is actually talking about to completely avoid them.
And of course, that's reflective of the fact that MS, there is a theory that MS actually is an autoimmune reaction. So these milk proteins are triggering that autoimmune response with a subsequent cascade of the body attacking its own cells, and in particular the myelin around nerves, and that's where we get the neurological deficit. Now, one of the other differences between the MIND diet and I think this MS diet, and I'd like your opinion on this, is salt, because in the MIND diet we were trying to limit salt. Is that right? Am I making that up?
Yes, you're right.
No. Okay. Right.
Yeah.
So, what would you? So, can you talk to us about the role of salt in the MS diet?
Well, MS diet also recommended a low salt intake, but the one recommending to limit the salt intake is DASH diet. So DASH diet has a recommendation for only no more than 1 teaspoon of salt added to your diet per day. Well, in the MS-friendly diet, we didn't mention about any recommendation about salt intake. So there's a no limitation about it, but in general, MS diet is lean to a healthy eating practice. So we do recommend people try to not adding too much salt in their diet for general health.
All right, Charmy, I think we're running out of time there, but I really appreciate your wisdom as always, and I look forward to speaking with you again very soon. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's all for today, folks. My name is Dr. Fergal Armstrong, and this has been Lifestyle Matters.